back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good morning, Matt. Well, I don't think there should be four senators in the Dakotas. It should be not North and South Dakota. It should be called the Dakotas. And the reason I believe in that is I've been to both states. Nobody lives there. A lot of people live in D.C. So that's my two cents for this morning. The guy is, I don't know, I think it's more than about car dealerships. It may be two senators and a few other things there. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, Wisco Paul, that's very good. I'll tell you what, if you said, all right, we're going to collapse North and South Dakota, make them one entity, and we're going to give them one senator. Now they have four among them. The only thing I feel bad about is I have cousins who were from South Dakota, but they're in Nebraska now, you know, so I'm kidding. Here's the deal. We're not upsetting any state that already has statehood, obviously, and senators. But, you know, you have this population in Washington, D.C. that are American citizens. They're American citizens. They vote in presidential elections, and there are electors assigned to them. So you'll see on election night, so-and-so carried the District of Columbia and got, I don't know, one or two electors. It's not a lot. And it's something. It could tip a race, a close race. But to say that they can't have senators and congressmen who get the full vote and are treated like senators and congressmen, they have observers. So some guy struts around and goes, yeah, I'm from a senator, or I'm a congressman from the District of Columbia. I'm an observer. And as a practical matter, I don't mount to a hill of beans, but I can sit there and watch it. You know, come on. You know, their state, people talk about statehood for Puerto Rico. Okay, fair enough. They're American citizens too. One of the principal obstacles to statehood for Puerto Rico has been Puerto Rico. There's a statehood party down there, which is not particularly well-regarded or strong. And then there's an independence party, and then there's a party for keeping the status quo. But in Washington, D.C., what slays me is you have guys in the Republican Party, like Jody Heiss, who, you know, what they're really getting at is they're afraid right now there'd be two Democratic senators out of there because it's a large minority population. That is really, come on, let's be honest here. What they don't understand is that a lot of that has to do with the messaging and what the Republican Party stands for. Prior to the Civil Rights era, African-Americans were Republicans. It was the Republican Party that stood up for them. It was the Democratic Dixiecrats who kept them down. If they suddenly had people coming up who were more like the Republican Party earlier in its history, they could take two seats in the District of Columbia. But, you know, putting all that aside, this is all speculation. Who knows what happens? But when you have a nut job get up and say, a principal reason why Washington, D.C. should not be a state is because it, quote, lacks car dealerships. You know, you have to unpack that a little bit. You know what he's really getting at. I get it and you get it. But how dumb can you be to come up with that as a reason? Especially drive around Washington, D.C. There are car dealerships. You know, are there as many car dealerships as California? No, because California is 40 million people. Okay, but there are car dealerships. Secondly, that's a metro area. There are plenty of people who say, yeah, I moved to Washington, got a new job with the government, whatever. Where do you live? Silver Spring, Maryland, Arlington, Virginia, you know, Falls Church, Virginia. It's sort of like saying if you're in Milwaukee, yeah, I moved to Milwaukee, I got a job, I live in Shorewood. I live in Wauwatosa. I live in Brookfield or Dane County. You know, I live in Sun Prairie. Okay. All right. Well, cool. I have a job in Dink. Okay, fine. I mean, but why do you parse out, you know, does Sun Prairie have any car dealerships? I mean, I assume they do. I don't care if they do or not. I mean, look, I don't know why I'm laughing. This is very sad. Jody Heiss, member of Congress from Georgia, is, I think they say some of these things. Maybe he believes it. Maybe what he's trying to do is wink, wink. You know why we don't want him to be a state. So I'm going to say something dumb, like they outlaw ice cream cones. Well, no, they don't outlaw ice cream cones. Oh, I was mistaken. And then they chuckle. They get a good chuckle out of that. That's what they're doing. They're just getting a good chuckle. Nasty little good chuckle is what they do. Another development. Russia has just urged China to move away from the U.S. dollar to avoid U.S. sanctions. Why should you care? Why should I care? It ain't going to happen. That's why. So why should we care? Here's why we care. Russia has wanted to move away from the U.S. dollar as an international monetary standard for a long time. It used to be gold. Remember the gold standard? The gold standard, you could bring in an ounce of gold and they had to give you $32, you know, that kind of thing. This is primitive economics. The only person who has uttered something like that recently, Trump tried to appoint a woman to a Federal Reserve Board who believed in the gold standard, sort of like she didn't believe in evolution. She thinks, I don't know what she thinks, that somehow one day some animal got created and jumped right out of the bushes and no one knows where it came from, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. Well, right now, Russia is trying to urge China to move away. That won't happen. The Chinese currency, a currency in a communist country, is inherently unstable, even if it looks momentarily stable because the government is propping it up. Because you know it's ultimately based on authoritarianism, theft by its leaders, a hallmark of communism and fraud. Russia, communists from the end of the First World War up till roughly Gorbachev, Yeltsin, late 80s, early 90s. I was in Russia in 1997 with a delegation from the Justice Department sponsored by the State Department to meet with and give talks to Russian prosecutors and lawyers about our legal system. They were eager. They were good people, smart, you know, very brave. They didn't have much money. I liked them very, very much. Had a lot of integrity. And then, of course, Putin came in and reimposed authoritarianism and claims he's not a commie, but basically he's indistinguishable from a commie. Okay. So these two characters, Russia and China, want to move everybody away from the U.S. dollar as the international standard to what? To China's currency? What? To Russia's currency? Russia has an economy the size of Italy. It has basically one export, oil, which is falling in importance, believe it or not, with fracking and then ultimately clean energy. And China is simply just a massive anthill of lots of different ethnicities and religions and languages and all very good people, but you can't just keep them all together without authoritarianism. Apparently they think so. I'd like to see them experiment the other way, but in the short run, they are not going to go to one of their currencies. If you were a banker in Europe or in the United States, you'd have to chuckle. I mean, you'd have to gag. Oh, I'm going to go with them. And so what's that being pegged to? What is that being pegged to? It's being pegged to whatever Xi thinks it should be pegged to today. And whatever Putin does, can't have that. The larger question is, why is the United States watching Russia and China come together when they hate each other? They're totally different culturally. They fought a small war over an island in 1969 and killed each other. It should be rudimentary to be able to keep them aside, keep them apart. That's got to be an objective of our State Department. Stand by and let's see what happens. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.